This time, we'll call upon our brother Matt to give to us the words of exhortation.
Well, thanks very much, Brother Mike, and good morning, my dear brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ, and friends and young people. It's nice to see you all this morning. So this morning, the theme for our exhortation is joy. And if I had to give a title to our exhortation, I suppose I might choose that phrase from our reading in 2 John, that our joy might be full. And as we prepare this morning to remember our absent Lord Jesus Christ, and perhaps as we personally think about and examine the way that we've lived in the past week and think about how we might resolve to live in the week to come, this exhortation is really just as applicable, if not more so, for myself as I've done a fair bit of thinking about how life has gone in the past 2.5 years or so. And I hope that you will find something helpful and encouraging in this exhortation and in this brief look at joy. So I think it's safe to say that we've all been affected, some quite dramatically over the past 2.5 years or so, by the changes in lifestyle and restrictions, the changes in stresses and anxieties, and so on. And so we've all been affected, even changed in a number of varying ways and to varying degrees. And we're not finished with it yet. The effects will continue for some time, and some of these effects and changes may never revert back until our Lord and Master returns. And so one of these effects that I've noticed while trying to live the truth and while trying to follow the perfect example of Jesus, while trying to do the things that we do together as an ecclesia, is that there has been a reduction in joy. And having made somewhat of an educated guess, I would say that some, and possibly most of you, may have noticed this as well in your own personal walk and in the collective ecclesial setting. And we need joy. We should be joyful in times of ease or distress in whatever state we are in. And so I don't want this exhortation to come across like we've lost all joyfulness, or that this is a downer of an exhortation, because that's certainly not the purpose of our time here this morning. And we haven't lost our joy. Just that this is something that always can be improved, and that when we are about our work and labor of love in the truth, that we can do it with joy, and we can do it with more joy. So we'll begin our thoughts and our look into the word this morning in our reading in 2 John. And this theme of joy comes up a few times in the epistles of John. So just jumping in there at 2 John verse 12, just reminding ourselves, as we've already had it read. 2 John verse 12, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. And John mentions it again in 3 John, verses 2-4, where it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And just back a page or two in 1 John, or back a couple of pages, back in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3 to 4, it says, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And so this second letter of John is to this elect lady and her children. And it's been said before by others that we could look at this as also being sort of in type as being to the ecclesia and to its members. That the faithful at the return of Christ will make up the faithful ecclesia, the bride of Christ, styled here as the elect lady. And the apostle John was joyful in the knowledge that his fellow believers were walking in the truth. And he also speaks of having this full or complete joy. And hopefully we will explore what this full joy means a little bit more as we continue this morning. So some examples of joy in varying life circumstances. Let's turn over to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44, we've got this short one verse parable. Matthew 13 verse 44. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field." And so, brothers and sisters, do we remember that feeling or that sense of joy, that response when we first were convinced and convicted in belief and sought baptism? That we were willing to give up everything else in life for this one precious treasure. Nothing else had any value in comparison. Remember the level of joyfulness and enthusiasm upon finding this treasure and the prospect of the kingdom. Back in Psalm 16, David writes of joy and in another example of joy in life. Psalm 16, starting at verse 8. "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And so we have one of David's great inspired writings on the majesty and greatness of God, and that he as a father is strong to save. When God is with us, we are immovable. The knowledge of this instilled a gladness and joyfulness right to the core of David, right to his heart, and we can fill our hearts with this joy as well. David believed in the resurrection, that even though he would die, God is well able to raise him from the grave. And that in the presence of God, joy can be made full and complete. Back into the New Testament then, in James 1. James 1, starting at verse 2. He writes there, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." And also down in verse 12 of the same chapter, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." So we have this idea, and we'll go back into, sorry, we'll jump around a bit, back into Matthew chapter 5, but we have this idea of having joy in all circumstances, even in times of great temptation and difficulty. So just back into Matthew 5, just to solidify that. Matthew 5, and starting at verse 10. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And so I'm not saying that it's not very difficult, but it is very difficult to find and exhibit joy during the difficult and depressing and sad times in life. We're encouraged to rejoice and be glad when these things are happening in our lives, for your reward is great. And so indeed, this is much easier said than done. Persecution, insult, lies, and evil directed at you and me are signs that we are in the way and our spiritual characteristics are being developed. If we don't experience any opposition in our lives, any persecution, any difficult, awkward moments of conversation or questioning or ridicule, perhaps we are hiding our light, or withholding from others the people that we profess to be. So we must find ways to be joyful in whatever we do, even in the menial tasks of life, and also the depressing times and sorrowful times. We can experience and share joy, the joy found in Christ, even in the most difficult and trying times. And we can develop and expand this joy found in the Word, made full in Christ, in both the good, happy, peaceful times and the difficult, sad, sorrowful times. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it," or endure it. So what about joy in the life of Jesus? Luke 2, verse 10 to 11 says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Joy would spread and increase at the news that the Savior, the Messiah, was born. Joy would be made full and complete for at least some who had been watching and waiting and understood this to be the true Messiah. And we don't always put that much emphasis on the birth of Jesus. We tend to focus on his ministry, his path to the cross, his atoning work, his resurrection. And so we should always talk about and focus on these things. But I can't help feeling some joy when I think about this time in the land, thinking about this long-awaited birth. It would have been an incredible and exciting time to be alive. Over in John's Gospel in chapter 3, look at this period of time where John the Baptist was decreasing, Jesus was increasing, the passing of the work was taking place. And in John 3, and starting at verse 27, we read, John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." And so joy was made full in the life of John the Baptist because Jesus had come. He must increase, but I must decrease. John had completed his work in preparing the way for Christ. He heard the voice of Jesus, the voice of the bridegroom, and joy would have welled up within him and overflowed. Do we respond in a similar way when we hear and read the words of Jesus? Or have we lost some of that response? Do we feel that sense of joy when we recall the words of the Master, when we think about his lessons, his parables, his miracles, his example, his sacrifice? A little further along then, in John, in chapter 15, we have the words of Jesus himself. In John 15, and picking it up at verse 10, he says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And so complete and full happiness, joy, delight, fulfilling lives, the pursuit of true happiness that has eluded mankind is found and completed in taking on this joy, the joy of Jesus abiding in us. The fulfilling and joyful work of imitating and walking in the footsteps of our Master, in how we live and react and speak and think in every situation. Living and dwelling in us, this is making our joy complete. This is not a fleeting happiness or temporary joy, such as our natural inclinations and desires find enjoyment in, such as our hobbies or pastimes or vacations or activities or possessions. We will only ever find temporary enjoyment in these. And so the words of life that Jesus spoke, being true and complete, full of joy and satisfaction and happiness. Just over in the next chapter of John, then in John 16, we read again in verse 17. "Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father? They said therefore, What is this that he saith, A little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And so we are assured in this chapter that whatever we ask in faith, our Heavenly Father will provide us with. We are assured in this chapter that just as the disciples would be sorrowful, yet the sorrow would be turned into joy. Even so, brothers and sisters, whatever sorrow and sadness we endure, this will not last forever, but shall be turned to joy as well. Pray for that joy. Ask for that joy. Ask your Father in heaven for that joy to come. He does hear, and he is faithful. Again, in the next chapter, John 17, reading from verse 12. Christ prays for his apostles and believers. John 17, beginning at verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so thankfully, it was the desire of Jesus to see this joy made full in his disciples. It is his desire to see this joy made complete in us as well. We are to be in the world, but not of it. Christ says he has given us the word of the Father. He prayed for his disciples, his closest companions, but he didn't just pray for them. Thankfully, he prayed for future believers. He prayed for us as well. Verse 20 and 21. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And so as we come closer to the time when we will share these emblems together, I'd just like to read a couple of more passages. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so even upon the cross, even in his most difficult hour, he was able to fix his mind on joy, on the joy before him, looking to the future. So brothers and sisters, as we draw close to this time when we shall partake of these emblems and together share in this remembrance of our Lord and Master, I would like to leave you with a section from 1 Peter chapter 1. So thinking of the sacrifice that has been made for us, thinking of the joy that Jesus possessed and looked forward to, thinking of the joy that can dwell in us because of the work of Christ, thinking about how maybe we've lost some of the joy we had but want to regain it, thinking about how difficult and different the past 2.5 years have been, and maybe how life is less enjoyable. Peter, in his first letter, speaks of a joy that is inexpressible, a joy so great that words can't do it justice. And so reading then from 1 Peter 1, starting at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith and unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. But the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls.